This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on the Escape Hour. This is Joy 94.9. My name's Russ Masterton. Fiona Brooke is my cohort today, and we have a special guest for you.
We do. Well, one of the many reasons, of course, that we know that Melbourne is number four is because of its fantastic food scene. And
absolutely.
Today on the Escape Hour, we are not leaving town.
We're not. We're staying in Melbourne.
We're staying in Melbourne because we know it's a beautiful city. And our host today is Alan Campion, who is the founder of Melbourne Food Experiences.
Yay.
Melbourne Food Experiences.
Welcome.
If you visit the page, my God, so many exciting and amazing things that you do on the website. Welcome to the show. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure to be here with you both, and hello to listeners this afternoon. Talking about these amazing food cities around the world, and in some senses you can be in Melbourne and taste the food of so many of those cities that you've just mentioned in your top 10. So how lucky are we to live here, and how lucky are we to get to visit other places as well? And
you're
that's what I
right.
love about Melbourne.
Mm. It is very unique here in Melbourne with our food scene, isn't it, guys? Where you can basically taste the world just on our footsteps.
You can. Look, 180 nationalities at last count just here in Melbourne is a phenomenal number.
Wow, yeah. That's a great fact.
It's an incredible number. And, you know, when people leave their country for all sorts of reasons that you might migrate, you know, you miss family and you miss communities and you miss food. So if the food doesn't exist that you remember from home, you do something about it. And that's what's been happening in this city since it was, you know, since white settlement began from the 1830s onwards. You know, we look at our Chinatown, really not far from this office. We're only half a block away from beautiful Little Bourke Street. The Chinese are coming to Melbourne in the 1850s for the gold rush, and we still get to taste and experience and enjoy that community and those people and that food today from all those years ago because of what happened such a long time ago.
So Melbourne Food Experiences, it's really about tours, it's about masterclasses, you've got chefs and restaurateurs and cocktail bars and wine experts and all of these people that work with you to help tell the amazing story, and you put together these incredible tour packages and activities. I mean, what a wonderful thing to be doing.
I have basically got the best job in Melbourne. And I'll arm wrestle anyone for the job if they want to give it a try. But I have a background in food and cooking and writing about food and Melbourne and so forth. And now, you know, this business has evolved over really decades. Mm. And the people that I've come to know in all of those years, the people who I think are the best of the best, I get to work with now. And so I know Andrew McConnell, who has now a whole raft of restaurants across Melbourne, but we primarily work with Supernormal and Cumulus Inc. and Cumulus Up, all in the Flinders Lane area.
Wow.
So we're taking people on a tour of the city and talking food, and we're taking them for tastings at chocolate shops and underground cheese rooms and Chinatown also, like we just mentioned, and they're having egg tarts and amazing samosas and things. But then we'll end up in a restaurant like Cumulus Inc., perhaps, which many listeners would know about and love. Mm-hmm. And we're settling in there and we're having a beautiful glass of wine, and they just serve us plates of food from the kitchen. So, you know, we're taking people out, and not just the eating, it's about the stories, the people, the history, the culture, the architecture of this city.
How did the idea come about?
Oh, look, it's just evolved over years. In fact, the tours really began because of a book that I used to do with Michelle Curtis called The Foodie's Guide to Melbourne. So that was all about – it wasn't so much about the chefs, because, you know, our restaurant guides have been around a long time, but this was about everybody else. It was the bakers. It was the families in Chinatown. It was the families in Sydney Road with their Lebanese bakeries making incredible baklava. It was the fishmongers and the chocolatiers. It was the story of everybody else who's in food in Melbourne, who, you know, feeds us on a daily basis. And the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival asked if we would run some tours in 2002 for the festival. So I became a tour guide for 2 weeks. in 2002, fantastic. And many years later, that's my job.
You're still with us.
Totally.
And also, I mean, of course, it's expanded so much from food tours.
Yes.
As you say, you've got a food and wine sensory challenges, food Olympics, team building and culinary challenges, masterclasses, as previously mentioned, and of course, like, you know, imagine doing a food tour of the Queen Victoria Market.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I mean, I go to the Queen Victoria Market and I stand there and I go, oh my God, where do I go first?
Well, it's a, you know, it's a bit of a hodgepodge. You don't know who's selling the best of what, do you?
That's it.
That's why you need to go on a tour.
You do need to go on a tour. So I think, so your audience, of course, is everything from local businesses to tourists from
that's
town.
Right, yeah, like over the last month or so, it's been all the international guests here for the Australian Open or just here for summer because it's not summer back home in the Northern Hemisphere, so we've been touring them around the city, which has been fantastic. But then, you know, most of the rest of the year is working with corporate groups or someone wants has a significant birthday coming up. So we work with Guy Grossi and his team at Grossi Florentino and Ombra, and we have an option where you can come up to the Ombra upstairs dining room on a Saturday afternoon. They'll bring in the sommelier from next door, which is Grossi Florentino. They'll put on an Italian wine tasting, followed by a feast of food where the wines then match what you tasted earlier on. So, you know, we do such a raft of things, from the fun corporate challenge experiences to really working with locals. And, you know, people of Melbourne, yeah, the food scene is changing so fast. Keeping up is
it
very
really
difficult.
Is. And you know, Russ, that some of the people that we've had on our show are regulars in the for Melbourne food experiences, like Alejandro from Pastuso. There is an event which works with Pastuso, and Jerry Meyer, who's coming on in a couple of weeks from Anam, which is winning tons of awards and doing great things in the city.
Yes.
So, you know, she'll be coming in to talk all about Vietnam and
fantastic.
Her restaurant. So, you know, it's really amazing some of the people that you work with. And then you've got some fantastic writers like Richard Cornish.
Yes, Richard Cornish, which people would know from Epicure and
yeah, from Brain
many
Food.
Magazines. Yes, that's right. Answering your culinary questions.
Is he a tour guide?
He is a host of an event where we talk about taste.
Ah.
How do we taste food? How do we start us? So he and Max Allen's a wine drinks writer, they're great mates, and they talk about everything from when a baby first tastes food. Like you give a baby lemon juice, obviously its face crunches up and it doesn't like it. You give a baby sugar, they're not allowed to do this anymore, I will say, but when they used to be able to, give a baby sugar, it smiles instantly.
Right.
Our addiction to and our love of sugar is in our DNA.
Inbuilt, yeah.
And they talk about how if they close your eyes and will taste an olive. Roll it around in your mouth. And they talk about how we taste food, but over an incredible dinner.
And it's actually called neurogastronomy.
Is
that correct?
That's right.
It's about how the eyes, the nose, the brain, the tongue all work together to create what we know of as the sense of taste.
That's fun. That sounds fun.
And smell is incredibly linked to memory. You can smell something that perhaps a grandmother used to bake for you, and you'll smell it today and you will be whisked back however many years to when grandma made this sponge, fruit cake, Christmas pudding, whatever it was. Smell and memory are incredibly linked.
I know my grandmother, I should say, used to make the most amazing egg and bacon pie. And so we all lived on that when we were kids. So I just have to put a bit of egg and bacon pie in my mouth, and I'm instantly taken back to when I was, you know, 6-7 years old.
Yes.
And, you know, and her, and, you know, lovely memories of her as this caring, beautiful person. And it's just from biting into an egg and bacon pie.
That's
so it's beautiful.
So what the guys bring to life in this dinner is quite incredible. So that's Richard and Max together.
And then you have competitions, and with the wonderful Cameron Smith, who, Russ, you may be aware that Cam has been running his food show on another community radio station in town called 3RRR.
Okay.
He's been running it for 30 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. As he says, a few footy seasons. Hello, Cam.
Cam, I hope you're listening.
He's a fantastic host of the Food and Wine Sensory Challenge.
Right.
So it's kind of team versus team. It's a lot of fun, and you'll be tasting chocolate, red wine. They'll put a whole lot of spices in front of you. How many of these 10 spices can you identify?
That's always the tricky thing, you know, when you're eating a dish and you look at your friend and you're like, what's the spice in that? And it's like, you're going,
it's nutmeg.
Like,
no, it's not. It's cardamom. No, it's not.
It's quite
That's
fun.
So cool. That's very cool.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy Podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
We're talking, for those people who've just tuned in, all things Melbourne with the wonderful Alan Campion, who runs Melbourne Food Experiences, which is tours, masterclasses,
yes,
challenges, food Olympics. What happens? Is that
What's
like an
that?
Eating competition?
It is a cooking competition.
Is it?
It is a cooking competition. So you bring the team together. Whether, you know, typically it's a corporate group coming together. There's been a change in leadership or lots of staff have left as lots of new people come. And bringing people together for a food-based team event puts everyone on the same level. That's the great thing about it. You're not being sent off to abseil or something ridiculous. It's actually something most of us enjoy. And you team up as some chefs, and you might have one team doing Italian food, another doing Israeli food, Mexican, Chinese, Spanish, whatever combination on the day. And there's a competition, and ultimately see which country is the winning country. And
wow,
there's medals for
that.
The winners. There's a medal ceremony.
Oh.
All these sort of fun things. But ultimately,
do people get competitive?
100%. As soon as it starts, the meekest person, you know, the guy who's like the delivery guy, or someone who's usually on reception, doesn't really say a word except hello. You've called whoever.
And the next thing,
bang, they're on.
He's the kitchen Nazi, is he?
They are. Mm. They're. So it's actually a lot of fun. It's an amazing way for business to see how teams are not all working one or the other.
Wow.
It's, yeah,
that
you can actually learn a lot
from
it.
Method to your madness.
Yeah.
Yes.
That sometimes will work with corporates to say, well, what work are you doing over the next 6 months in your teams? Let's bring that into the actual event, and it's maybe it's judging criteria or something. So sometimes there's a lot involved, and other times it's just come and cook. Have fun, eat together, get together.
You know what would be a great idea for this show, Fiona, is we could get Alan to set up a cooking show for us, and you and I could compete against each other for the best dish, and we could have a chef each. And
that
we could,
sounds extremely
right.
messy. I think that what we should do is we'll get your office and my office to compete.
Oh, yes.
How many staff do you have?
8.
I've got 7.
Okay,
I'll
we're
get
on.
Another one just,
okay,
to, just
all
for
right.
the day. And we'll have a travel agent
off.
Versus PR agent cook-off.
Let's do it, Alan.
Done.
All right.
That sounds like really good fun.
That'll be a great show for Joy, I reckon. Okay. All right. Well,
I don't know. We'll have to cover the studio in plastic.
No. I think we'd have to pre-record. Could you imagine the mess in here?
Yep.
Because I don't cook. So it'll be a nightmare for somebody.
So when you have visitors from overseas,
yes.
which you have plenty,
yes.
I mean, do they? What are their kind of some of the reactions that you get when they have been through the experience?
Yeah, look, a lot of the overseas guests are, you know, fairly high end, who are incredibly well travelled. Like, you know, with some people recently, they said, "Oh, remember 2 weeks ago when we saw the polar bears in the North Pole and stuff like that?" That these people are incredibly well travelled. So they're on a 2-3 week trip through Australia doing incredible things on a daily basis. So we say, well, we need to make this Melbourne day the memorable, amazing day.
Right.
And it's actually easy because we have a city that's incredibly walkable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go from Chinatown around the corner in the Greek precinct, come back onto Bourke Street, top of Bourke is, you know, the Italian quarter. We're taking them along the Yarra, and maybe they go to the Arbory, which many listeners would know, right along Flinders Street station there, and maybe have a coffee if it's early in the morning or a nice cocktail if it's later in the day. Taking them to some of the hidden cocktail bars across the city. And within about 2 hours, they're going, wow, this place is amazing. You can come to the CBD. It's not just a central business district. It's a living, breathing, fun, food-filled centre. And we don't have to actually work that hard for them to go, now we know why people love this city and why they come back. They might compare it to Sydney and they go, look, we've just been in Sydney and I go, look, Sydney is so beautiful. I love Sydney. I was there last year, you know, to watch the fireworks and stuff. But Melbourne requires a bit more effort. You need to walk. You need to be with a local. You need to be taken because at every little corner there's something new and you can completely walk past it. So, you know, they really go away saying, we're so glad that Melbourne was on our agenda. We didn't know why we were coming, but we now do, and we're so glad that we came.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, many years ago in the 80s, I used to live in the CBD.
Yes.
Back when there was only like 600 people that lived in the CBD, and I lived in a warehouse on that was on Flinders Street, but we entered from Flinders Lane. Yeah. So, you know, the famous Flinders Lane where all those restaurants now are was actually our doorstop. Yeah. And there was nothing there.
No.
Nothing at all. I remember going to the opening of the Metro nightclub and I broke my heel on the staircase. So I was able just to walk home and get a new pair of shoes and then walk back to the party.
I tell you, when I really wished I'd lived in the CBD is when I'd go to the foam parties in the city.
The foam
parties. Have you ever been to a foam party? It's where they fill the room with foam and you dance inside all this foam.
So
oh, God, it is so much
outrageous.
Fun. Except you don't breathe it in.
No.
Because if you breathe it in, that's right. If you breathe it in, you actually have a bit of a shock. But you go to, I used to go to these foam parties at Tasty and different venues in the city. Yeah. And, you know, you'd basically have nothing but your budgie smugglers on. And then it was a bit embarrassing going home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because you had nothing else on. You had to hail a cab and you take out your purse out of your budgie smugglers and away you go and you get wolf whistles or other things called at you down the street. So that's when I would have liked to have lived in the city.
Now, back to the 21st
Sorry,
century.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we do have young listeners.
And so one of the most fun parts of your job would be the constant discovery of new and exciting places in Melbourne because, as we know, restaurants are opening, I mean, so often. There is the negative side effect of that, of course, that a lot of restaurants do close. But, I mean, one of the most fun things would be for you, the discovery.
Yeah, I think the good ones survive and thrive. Mm. That's the reality. And the good operators get it right when they get to their second, third and fourth restaurant, like the guys from Pastuzzo and San Telmo now have Palermo, which is another version on their Argentinian cooking where they're cooking over the pit, like cooking whole animals over the pit.
Oh, so it's a real asado,
absolutely. They're actually doing proper asado and that's in Little Bird.
How amazing.
I think that actually they can do six animals at a time in the venue.
And it's Palermo,
Palermo, Palermo opened sort of late-ish December.
The end of last year. Yeah. And they are opening another one. I shouldn't be speaking out of that, but they are opening another one this year called Asado.
Yeah, oh, good, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so that was terrific. Went there late last year and that was outstanding. David McIntosh would be a restaurateur, but many people would have heard of or certainly eaten at his restaurants like Roses or Lihufuk and others as well. He's just taken what was Pay Modern and turned it into a beautiful supper club. I'm trying to think the name of his new supper club. The Mayfair.
I haven't been yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it only opens from, 5 o'clock onwards and it's live jazz every single night that they're open.
Wow.
You can be very New York style. You can be sitting 1 meter away from the jazz duo that night at your little table for two. It's pure class. Great French inspired food and cooking as well. Yeah, they've done a terrific job and that's something new. Yeah, they're there to be there from 5 in the evening till late in the morning, early in the morning. And they do it so beautiful. So beautifully.
What's your favourite booking tour?
My favourite tour. We actually bring in for a lot of the international guests. They're maybe only here for 2 days, so we try and show them a lot in 1 day. And we show them what's a mixture of food, art and laneways. Mm. So for them it's, a bit of NGV. Mm-hmm. And in the NGV we can just show them 8 or 9 paintings which tell the story of Melbourne.
Oh, cool.
Artists there who came for the gold rush and stayed on and became significant teachers and so forth of Melbourne. So that's a great stop. Down onto the river, again into Arbury or somewhere like that. Mm. Then we're coming through De Graves Street. Like, again, talk about a changing city. De Graves Street was just a road. Now it's one of the hearts of laneway dining of Melbourne. And you get off the main streets into these beautiful, quieter spaces. And from De Graves, we keep going. We go through Centre Place. We'll go past the beautiful Green Olive. They've just opened. They're from Red Hill. They make all their own olive oils and preserves. We go for a little tasting. Ganache Chocolate is just there on Collins Street. We cross Collins and go into the Block Arcade, this Gewurz House, Spice Shop, Beechworth Honey. They've opened a stunning store with some almost up to 40 honeys on tasting.
Really?
All there. And they're so welcoming. And we keep coming, and then it's up to Chinatown. And then it's talking about cocktail bars, because there's nothing more that I like than talking about cocktail bars.
You're welcome here anytime.
And, you know, I think there's a position you can stand on in Tattersall Lane, and you can see seven cocktail bars. In one spot. Seven. Who would have said that in Melbourne? And I love the creativity of our hospitality people. I mean, who would have thought of taking a strip of garden alongside Flinders Street Station and turning it into the longest bar in Australia, which it is, outdoor bar. You know, who would find a little spot like we Union Electric, someone that we know, Hugh Griffiths, he found an old electricity substation parking lot and turned it into a stunning bar called Union Electric, which you really cannot find at until someone brings you there.
It is a beautiful one. And then you've got White Hart. That was an old car park.
Yeah.
The guys at White Hart did a fantastic job. I don't know if you've checked that out, Russ.
No, I haven't.
It's massive container bar.
Yeah. Really?
Out of containers down a laneway, and you would not know it was there at all. There's no sign. But when you get to the end of the lane, you're like, boop, there's a car park.
Yeah. And I must say, getting back to food a little, if you go up to Spring Street, where the European restaurant and City Wine Store, many people would know that strip with beautiful rooftop bars above, of course.
Yes.
But underground there, what was a car park, is now an underground cheese maturing cellar.
Wow.
That's
so,
cool.
We take our guests down, and there's literally 60 cheeses on display in the temperature-controlled room. And the guys down there and girls down there take us through a tasting of, like, the best Australian farmhouse cheeses.
That's awesome.
So, you know, what a city.
You guys are on it, though. That is so good.
Maybe we don't need to do a cooking challenge. Maybe we just need to go on a tour. Oh,
I think that would be awesome.
I'd love that.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Do you think we could do a walking tour show?
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Back to Melbourne.
Yes.
Now, of course, we've just been had our taste buds and our minds heavily stimulated by the idea of these delicious places that we're going to stop by in our Melbourne tours. So, now, Alan, you are actually the co-author of more than 35 cookbooks.
Yes, this is true.
Did you know that, Russ?
Get out of town, man. Do you ever stop?
No, I don't sleep much.
No.
Energizer Bunny, I think, is the. Yeah. There's a lot of batteries. No, look, this is a phenomenal city, and I'm super lucky to do what I do. I really totally believe that.
You'd make a great Lord Mayor, you know.
Oh, great idea.
I think
I love that idea.
I think he'd make a great Lord Mayor.
Absolutely.
I'm on.
Okay.
All right, you are.
We'll get that nomination in. So, you know, writing about this city is something I've been really lucky to do. I got great opportunities with The Age and Gourmet Traveller, like in the early 90s, and that leads to cookbooks and food guides like Foodie's Guide to Melbourne and a really big cookbook called In the Kitchen. And as I was mentioning to Fiona just a little earlier, that's having a re-release. So if any of you know In the Kitchen and your copy is looking a little bit, you know, well-used and splattered with food and things, there's a brand-new, very colourful, beautiful edition coming in April. So
Can't wait. Very excited
by that.
And the other thing that we were chatting about also was, I mean, the first edition was put out in what year?
So I think 2002.
Yep. And then so many things have changed, and the availability of so much more food in Melbourne means that you've updated some of the recipes.
Yeah, look, basically every recipe had a makeover from Michelle Curtis, who's my co-author, and she's, you know, taken out the sugar and excess butter and just too much salt or whatever it happened to be, because that's how we cooked then, and we didn't have the excess to maybe as many Asian herbs and ingredients as we do today, and going and getting, you know, beautiful Lebanese, say, pomegranate syrup or harissa paste or dukkah wasn't that easy. So you couldn't, if you put it in a recipe, people go, oh, I can't make that, I can't get those things. You can get those things, and they're surrounding us in our city. How lucky are we?
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, certainly there's specialty stores. There is, you know, the fantastic markets.
Yes.
I mean, I once saw a recipe of something I wanted to cook in one of the Fairfax publications, and it had a specific sort of Indonesian kind of sauce that you could just buy. And so I went to the South Melbourne market to one of the stores there that sold a variety of different Asian produce, and I said, I need this sauce. It starts with G. I don't know how to say it. And they were like, oh, yeah, B because obviously they have a lot of people that have read the same recipe and they were like, yeah, okay, we got that.
It's over here on the shelf.
Everyone was buying it because they'd read this recipe. Anyway,
that's a great thing. You really, really can. And that's so all the recipes had this huge update. But also they needed a bit of work in a way that this book is going beyond, you know, Australian shores, and it's getting a UK release.
Great.
And a US release.
Wow.
So that was a massive step. So we're taking Australian food and recipes and cooking beyond our shores. So that's a very
fantastic,
exciting thing. Yeah, we're very excited by that. So,
and speaking of beyond shores, we were talking earlier about one of your, when you travel.
Yes.
I'm sure that there are many, many, many cities that you enjoy. But recently you enjoyed all the pleasures of Kangaroo Island.
I did. Absolutely.
I'd love to go to Kangaroo Island. Did you love it?
I actually did love it. We did a bit of a road trip between Christmas and New Year. Hadn't done a road trip in a long time. And, over to Victor Harbour, and you stay overnight there, having driven from Melbourne, and then the next morning you jump on the ferry. And Kangaroo Island is fantastic. It's very outdoorsy.
Isn't it?
It's very, very beautiful. You get to do the special walk onto where the seals live on the beach, and the guides take you down there, and the remarkable rocks and the national parks, and a stunning beach called Vivon Bay. And anyone who's been there would know it's actually been on a top 10 best beaches of the world list years back. It's protected from the southern coast because it's on a little inlet, and it has the finest sand.
Really?
That sounds
very, very beautiful.
Beautiful.
Very, very beautiful. Turquoise waters, yeah. Picture perfect. But the food, getting back on the island, people, creating breweries. We had a brilliant visit to a brewery there, a great stop at people who make their own gin. There's a special gin that's made in the southern parts of the UK called a slow gin, and a slow is a type of a plum, I guess you would
berry,
say.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a bit bigger than a berry, but on this island they have
a fat berry.
They have a mulberry tree that's 150 years old, so they go and get the mulberries and make a mulberry gin.
Okay.
Well, that's incredible. I grew up on mulberries because we had an old mulberry tree on my parents' farm.
I bet you weren't making gin back then, though, were you?
No, I tried to dye T-shirts with it. That's what I did.
Tie-dye, yeah.
And on the subject of, well, you know, it actually all washed out in the first wash, so it didn't
all comes
work
out in the wash. So.
there's a gin drinking story for you.
another gin story is, one of your other guides is Sebastian Rayburn, and he has just undertaken the production of his cherry gin and just recently pitted 20,000, 200,000, I don't know, lots of thousands of cherries for his cherry gin.
They do. Gosh. They go and buy, they get it. There's a specific farm in Tasmania, get their very specific sour big cherries, and his cherry gin sold out last year in 5 minutes. So they're hoping it'll last a bit longer this year. But yeah, he's brilliant, and we work closely with Sebastian. He actually hosts our cocktail tour of Melbourne.
Well, I would go on a cocktail tour with Sebastian any day because he is a delight.
He knows where to go.
Oh, yeah.
He knows his booze.
Good he does. Now, Alan, just so our listeners know, if they've got a celebration coming up or some international friends coming to town, they should contact you. How would they go about doing that?
Yeah,
and what information do you need from them as far as creating a tour for them?
Look, we bespoke and create events all the time, so it's really about giving us a call or sending an email, and you might say, look, we've got four people coming from Portugal or Sydney or whatever, and they're going to be here on such and such a weekend. We love bakeries, chocolate and cocktails or whatever. So we will put together a tour and put on a great guide, an appropriate guide. It's going to be brilliant for you. Or it might be that you want to include Queen Victoria Market in on Saturday morning as a visit. Take you through there, have great coffee, take you to the best shops, introduce you to the owners, because it's not, food is not just something on a plate. It's about people and history and all of those things. So it's meeting those people is crucial. And so that's what we say. Give us a call. Send us an email over at Melbourne Food Experiences and we'll put together something just for you.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting. Now, one question that we like to ask all of our guests, and it's very important to us, do you, when you travel, and you sounds like you travel quite a bit, do you fold or roll
the
clothing?
Fold. Just checking. I'm a folder.
That's right.
A folder.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Well, that's good.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. We have some people that go both ways.
Quite a few people that go both ways.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, no, none at all. None at all, yep.
And the other exciting news is that we have a new member.
What?
Yep.
This show is going off today. Thank you.
And the most exciting thing is it's from the Northern Territory.
I love it.
Lee, thank you. From Yulara in the Northern Territory, thank you for your membership to Joy.
Good on you, Lee. Welcome to the Joy family.
Welcome
Loving having you here. That'd be great.
We need a bit of an NT story. You know, there was an article recently which was about the best wild swimming holes in the Northern Territory, and I went, oh, my God, I really want to go and do that.
Well, I was watching a video this week about the Northern Territory, and there was a crocodile surfing off the coast of the NTV. Yes, I couldn't believe it. This croc was surfing.
On a board or like...
No, just
like...
Body surfing. And, you know, I kind of thought...
Only in NT, yeah?
Absolutely only in NT.
That should be on their ads.
Where else would that happen? Wow. So do you think, Fiona, now that we've got Alan here, and we put him on the spot and we say, well, what do you reckon, Alan? Can we come and do a tour with you and put it to air? What do you say?
100%. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, we'll really give you a taste of real Melbourne, taste of the city. 100%.
Maybe we could get a couple of members to come with us. Would you mind if we brought a couple of Joy members along?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Sign up as a register and become a supporter. And
a supporter of Joy, and I will have to discuss how
we'll talk to the powers that be here at Joy 94.9, and we'll let listeners know next week.
Oh, my goodness. And it's time to go.
It is. Alan, you have been a fantastic guest.
Pleasure.
Thanks. We will look forward to hearing from you soon. And maybe we should have Alan on again, you know, to give us some updates on what else is happening around town.
Well, you know, Melbourne, number 4 in the world, should be number 1, of course, and that's Sydney, blah. We loved having you, Alan. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Lovely,
Fiona.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.